Alice at 97.3's Sarah and
Alice
Vinny.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Holy cow.
Hello.
Steve Perry just walked into the studio.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. I got to give you a hug.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
It is an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you. How you doing?
How's traffic out there?
Well, you know, we were stuck in traffic on the bridge because there was a bad accident, so we would have been here a little more on time. We got here just in time. Hi, and you are?
Marcus.
Oh, sorry.
Marcus, pleasure.
Marcus Osborne. That's Bryn over there.
Bryn,
did you get the pleasure of meeting Hooman? Oh, fantastic.
So how's everything at Alice?
Oh, everything's fabulous here. How's everything at Steve Perry?
Well, Steve Perryland, How is everything at Steve Perry?
Guy looks amazing, by the way.
You do.
Smells good.
You do. Dressed like in black head to toe.
I got to dress and do my Johnny Cash thing at this age. I got to get every bit I can get. I'm doing good. I'm excited about the new music and talking to people like yourselves and just, you know, going through radio.
Has it just been a crazy whirlwind? Like, I mean, out of the blue 2 weeks ago, we get asked, you know, would you guys be interested in talking to Steve Perry? And after I picked myself up off the floor.
Oh, you're sweet.
I was, you know, the answer was yes. And then we get to hear a new song, and there's your voice. There it is. I'm waiting for it. And there it is. So has the response been just, our response was insanity.
Well, it's been overwhelmingly beautiful, really, to be honest with you. I mean, I had no idea that it would be like this. I really didn't.
Really?
I really didn't, because when I left the group like over 31 years ago, I kind of walked, you know, and just was burnt out, you know, and walked with no looking back. And I think the ability to keep walking came with don't look back, you know. I had to keep walking forward into my life, you know.
Yeah.
Back to my hometown and, you know,
back
ride
to
my
your
motorcycle,
roots.
Back to my roots and just hanging out with family members and stuff like that, you know. So the response to the new music has just been really wonderful.
You say you were burnt out. What was the source of that burnout?
Well, I mean, when you tour with a band like Journey for years, the rooting was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know anybody that tours like that anymore.
How many shows a year?
My God. We would do, all I know is like 4 on, 1 off, 3 on, 1 off, oof. 4 on, 1 off. And that day off was always a travel day. So
no days off.
There's no day off.
Right.
So you get in late that night with hopefully no flight delays, or sometimes we bus in it. So toasty, I think, is the word.
Right.
Crispy.
And that went on for years.
I mean, that was years.
Solid. But when you walk away, I mean, honestly, it's one thing to walk away. It's another thing to be gone for over 20 years. Like, it's really, I mean, that is a solid break from it.
I really thought
in my lifetime I would never get to sit down across from Steve Perry talking about new
music.
Honey,
I never thought I'd sit and get a chance to talk to you again.
No,
but it's true. Because I did walk away with a conviction that, you know, I already lived the dream of dreams, and my love and my passion for music that I found when I was really young, like the age of 5 and 6, when my parents were about to split up, I started living in these 45 RPM records. I mean, I listened to this R&B music that just moved me, and the echoes and the songwriting and the voices and the pockets of these drummers. I just moved into that sonic landscape, and I think it became my refuge. And how it touched me, how it changed my life, I kept with me and brought that into the band Journey. And at some point towards the end of it, as you were asking, I lost that. I really lost my passion for it. I got really worried about it because I wasn't emotionally connecting to my love for music. So that scared the holy crap out of me, to be honest with you.
Did it become a job? Because that, to me, when you do something for so long, something that you love, but now you have to do it, and it's the same thing every night, and it's, you know, 200 nights a year or more, I would think that kind of grind would suck the joy out of the actual singing experience.
Yeah, and I think it became a little bit painting by numbers, I think. Mm. Yeah, I think that's true. And worse than that was I found an emotional disconnect from my own foundation that I pull from to sing from.
Right.
And it started to make me along with being what we used to call road burn, by the way. Road burn was when you're on the road so much, you're kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
Along with road burn and some party behaviors.
I was going to say, also with the rock band thing, is that you burn it at both ends. I mean,
this
these
was
travel
the 80s,
days
honey.
Are
it was
right.
the 80s. Okay?
Oh, my God. And so, and you're a vocalist. Like, you have to be so careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did. And so I certainly behaved myself before a show, never misbehaved during, but after the show, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, actually, it takes some real wherewithal to even wait until after the show, Steve.
But it catches up to everyone. Right. You can't do that along with just the pace of the whole tour. Mm. Yeah.
Was the primary source of income for bands back then, that was the touring, right?
Well, back then there was a thing called the record business.
Ah, so you'd actually have
you
some.
Know, yeah. You had Tower Records over here on Bay Street. You had Warehouse Records. You had Sears. And you had, back then, these new stores were showing up called Kmart. brand new shows. And then came Target. That was a brand new thing, you know.
Yes.
But they were all racking and selling physical records and CDs, which came later. Yeah. So that, along with touring, was the income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, as of now, as you probably know, touring probably is basically it now.
Touring and probably some merchandising.
That's it.
Because
yeah.
the record industry, I mean, since you went away, it's just changed. We were just talking about how easily accessed every single thing is. Like, collections don't matter the way they used to do.
Right.
You know, when you'd have the record and you'd call your friend, you'd come over and listen to the new record. And
well,
now it's, I've got every record, you name one, I'll get it for
you. I purposely did an album cover that is very intricate and very, always holding
and
it up.
We
a little
stared
bit,
at that for 20 yeah. minutes
we
yesterday.
Spent a lot of time with this yesterday.
Yeah, well, the color version, of course.
Well,
it's not.
Yeah, there's actually the backside, you're missing the other side.
Oh, is that so?
What?
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Yeah. yeah. And it continues to. I worked with a great artist named Jeff Walk, and put everything that mattered to me into this. My life almost is in this entire cover, and it's just traces of my past. And if you
and
look,
that's the name of the record, Traces.
Yeah, Traces. And if you look really close, on the marquee in the far distance of that theater. My dad used to perform at the Hanford Theater, where I was born and raised in Hanford,
is
California.
Is that what that theater is?
Yeah,
which one is it?
Right there. And if you get it, you can zoom in on it when you actually get the cover.
Yeah, pull the it, here. Hold
is.
On.
Yeah.
We've got it in color here
there
now.
It is.
We're looking
so
at.
So pull to the right.
Oh, go to the right.
Go to the right. More.
Keep going. Oh, that's keep, how is that possible?
There you go.
That's all
keep
we
keep going to the right.
That's
more to the right.
Weirdly, it's only giving us a quarter of
oh,
the thing.
Oh, it's only giving you. Yeah.
Oh, and it's got a little bit of the back on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, the theater's to the right, and on the marquee it says, appearing Ray Perry's son.
Oh,
my
Ray
dad,
Perry's son.
My dad was
oh,
Ray Perry.
Funny.
So he used to sing there. So there's just a lot of stuff on it. But
okay, I have a question. What's the lady in the fishnet? Like, where is that in your life?
She's
I want to hear about
what
this.
She is. She's
oh, you're just like a sexy girl.
She's a sexy girl.
That's a nameless girl. You're not going to tell
her
me.
Legs in the air and enjoying the music.
Like
being
she just
played.
Don't care.
A rock star. So that's got to be in there somewhere.
Right.
Well, she looks fantastic. And and she's really happy about the floating phonograph
sure.
she's listening to behind her.
Right.
But if you look close, there's a microphone to the left of that, which is my M49 I
oh,
sang on.
Oh, look at that.
Okay. There's just a lot of stuff.
What about the dog? In
the dog is Marlo. That was Kelly and my, that was our dog.
Mm.
Yeah, Kelly.
So how much of what you're doing right now is because Kelly said, do not go back into isolation?
Probably about 90%.
You think that maybe if she hadn't been adamant that you might have?
Well, yeah. I mean, she was very clear that, you know, facing stage 4 cancer, at nights we would talk. And it was my favorite time just to be laying there in the dark. And either I'd talk her to sleep or she'd talk me to sleep. You know, it was just a great, great moments of honest conversation. And one night she said, I need to ask you a favor. I said, what's that? She said, would you make a promise? Well, you know, we'd had a lot of serious conversations, and I thought, well, here it comes, you know. And she said, I need you to make a promise that if something was to ever happen to me, that you wouldn't go back into isolation, for I feel it would make this all for naught. Now, she said this all for naught, and I'm sitting there, I mean, laying there in bed, I mean, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's looking at the whole arc of us meeting each other, being together, and the possibility of us not being together. And she's seeing some purpose. There's got to be some purpose if that was to come to fruition, you know? So I made the promise. And after I lost her, 12, 14 of 12. A couple of years went by, and I was in the grieving process for quite some time, which, you know, if you're alive, we all have loss. But that one particularly, for me personally, was, I was at home with her. I just felt finally home with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'd been looking for a home for a long time. And so a couple of years after I lost her, I just started pulling out some of my hard drives with some of my rough sketches, because I had been sketching music before I met her, of ideas.
When you say sketching, you had like melody ideas or poems or?
Exactly. Oh, okay. I have a laptop. I have Pro Tools. I have a rig that I can sketch ideas.
So you can hum right into it, or do you play a little guitar or piano?
Yeah. I got loops going. I got keyboards going. I got vocals going. I got harmonies going. Mm. I'm building tracks. And a lot of these tracks you hear on the Traces record came from those demo sketches. And I just added musicians. And some of them kept the demo vocals because they felt...
Really?
Well, yeah, because when you're writing music, there's something about the moment it shows up, the moment it starts to identify itself. And by the way, I had not felt this passion for music until I started doing this again, because I had lost this. So this was a big homecoming for me, because if it didn't come back, I was going to have to be okay with that, because I already had lived the dreams of dreams with Journey. I really had. But if it comes back, it was the amazing thing, and it started to come back. So the passion for it and the songwriting started to return. And when you're in the moment, when an idea starts to show up, there is something definitive about that first stroke of paint on that piece of blank canvas is very important. Because I can sing something, you know, just off the top of my head, and it just feels right because it's never been defined before or worked or repunched or resung, or it just feels natural. So there was a bunch of moments like that, quite a few, that I kept, thanks God, because I had Pro Tools.
Right.
And I just started using those moments and overdubbing background vocals and real drummers, Vinny Galluto and...
And I want to talk about some of the people on this. We're talking with Steve Perry. Unbelievable. We're talking with Steve Perry. Words I never thought that I would say. It's so great to have you in here.
Thank you.
As I was looking through some of the stuff, I see that Roger Manning is on here. I'm like a huge Jellyfish fan. And I saw his name. I've sort of been kind of following him. How much is he on? And are you guys friends?
Yeah. We're friends. He's all over the record. He's on a song especially called Most of All. He did a beautiful job on that. He's on the whole record in a lot of different places. He's so talented. You know, he shows up with a complete rack of digital and analog gear. So when you're sitting there, you're not just locking up to Pro Tools and putting anything in sync or nothing.
Right.
He's actually performing, you know, as I did with the drums and everything. So he fit right into the musical direction that I wanted to follow, which was people overdubbing their hearts on this record with their talents.
Right.
Not just making
not looping,
not electronic music
right.
and all that.
Quantizing everything.
Exactly. No, I didn't want to do that.
Right.
So that's why it took a little longer, because we're talking about people pouring their hearts out.
Real musicians.
Yeah, musicians.
Well, and how nice it must have been to have that kind of time. Like, you weren't under a deadline, and there isn't a record company breathing down your neck.
I built
a
studio.
Really could... Yeah, is this at your home?
Yeah, I built a really full-fledged studio
at
my house.
How amazing. Is that where you shot the video? Where's the video shot
for
Noah Raisin?
No, Noah Raisin was shot actually in a rehearsal space.
Okay, because it's huge. I wondered, is that his personal space?
No.
How amazing.
The studio is more of a size of Motown, to be honest with you. It's the tracking room is about the size of Motown's tracking room,
which is about how big? I don't know.
It's
how big
probably the size of a car and a half width, because it was a Motown was actually a garage.
Oh, how funny!
Yeah, and then they closed it off, and then they built.
And so that's how wide it is.
How wide it is, and they built a control room.
So it's small, but these days with the
need
plenty. So much less equipment.
That's plenty. All the drums were in there. Everything.
So Traces is coming out on October 5th, and then the road was the end for you last time. Do you plan to tour? Are you going to try and keep it small? Like, I mean, you get to dictate this stuff.
Well, you know,
the way a lot of people never get to.
Well, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. We're talking about that now.
Okay.
But right now we're just talking about there's so much music on this record. I just want people to, if you go to steveperry.com, you'll see a statement. Oh, by the way, I'm a social media kind of mofo now.
Good man.
Okay, I'm all
which
up in that.
Awesome. Trump.
He's sticking the landing.
SteveParry.com. Okay. So if you go to SteveParry.com, I said it three times. Did you see how I did that?
Yeah, that's
good, man.
Nice.
You've been coached well, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. You'll see the statement that I where I've been, what happened, and what's going on, you know. And the record's there, and the cover's there. And just my life is in this whole thing. But there's so much music to come from this record that all I really want people to do from my heart is just listen to it. And whatever it makes you feel, I'm okay with that. And if you think, well, yeah, it's okay, and that's it, I'm okay with that. But if it makes you feel something, I'm really okay with that too.
Right.
You know.
Just want to share it again.
I just want to touch people emotionally with music again, because I just didn't think the passion of songwriting would come back. And the good news, it's come back. The bad news is I got a whole bunch of songs.
Well, you've got time. I mean, put out Traces, and then we'll start work on the next album.
Yes, I'm already started.
just as I hate to, this is totally self-indulgent, but I love you. I love singing. You've been like a singing idol for me. I'm wondering if you can just quickly tell me, like, what is your like a pre-show warm-up? Like, what do would you just go in cold to a studio and let it warm up on its own? Or
there were times, certain songs in the morning. I just like the way my voice sounds in the morning sometimes.
A little scratchy,
right? Yeah, and not so clean. And plus, Uncle Steve's got some miles on my voice now. So that can work to my...
Hitting some notes.
Yeah, those notes, left me some miles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of adds a little texture to it.
Right.
And so sometimes in the morning, the texture would be more prevalent, and I would like singing in the morning. But there wouldn't be a lot of warm-ups.
So you don't have, like, you know, some people will run...
No,
arpeggios or being,
but I'm starting to do that now because there's a more demanding kind of vocal requirements that I'm starting to get into, which I'll talk about some other time.
Mm.
Oh, what's your favorite song to perform? Not your favorite song necessarily, but your favorite song to just sing live.
Back in the day, because I haven't done performance. Last time I performed was a solo tour years ago.
Was there one that like was on the list though that you thought, oh, I can't
wait? You know
what
my favorite one? The one that comes to mind right now was when I performed with the Eels,
which was sort of like out of the blue. Where all of a sudden we start seeing Steve Perry's name again. Well, he's on stage with the Eels
at Fitzpatrick Theater in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul. That was a thrill to be with those guys, and you know they had always been rehearsing, and I love the Eels, I love E, and they'd always say, well, we're going on another tour. Come on to rehearsal. I come to rehearsal. Well, is this the year you're going to sing? No, maybe next year. So this happened quite a few years in a row. So one year they said, so are you going to sing this time? I went, okay, what do you want to do? So we started working up a couple of things, but I always loved his song. It's a MF. You know, I won't say it on the air.
Oh.
We probably can't play it on the air either. Is there
you can't play
a clean
my kind of song.
But it's a beautiful song.
So not even one of your songs. You're saying?
Well, we did some Journey stuff after that, but I did his. And then I did, to answer your question, one of my favorite songs was, I think I did Only 16 by Sam Cooke a cappella.
That's a great record.
By myself. Dude. And I always wanted to just sing it with no music out into the room and then go into open arms.
Sam, one of your influences?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was in Pismo Beach when I was with my mother in her car, a little Thunderbird she had, and I remember Cupid came on the radio. I must have been 9 or 10 years old. And my whole world became a tunnel vision to that 6x9 speaker on the dash of her car. I couldn't see or hear anything except him singing that song.
Mm. How old do you think you were?
I think I was 9 or 10. I can't remember. I was really young.
Mm.
Yeah, it touched me.
So, congratulations on all the... I mean, even though the ball is just beginning to roll, thanks for coming back.
Oh, you
know,
thank you
I can't wait to see you live. I can't wait to talk to you again. I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, you're so
Traces
sweet.
Is out on October 5th.
Yes.
Do we have Noah Rasin
we
ready
sure
to
do.
Go? I just want to thank you so much. I know it was a pain getting in here and coming down on the highway.
We're late,
Steve. Yeah. Oh my God, if you showed up at 11, I would still be here waiting for you.
We were prepared to stay here all night.
Oh,
well, let's stay here all night.
We'll hold on.
We'll sing
we
songs
got a lot
together.
To talk about.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank
it's
you
just
so
been
much.
Please, you know, anytime you're hometown guy.
Can I come anytime?
Any.
Because I come up for Giant games. You know that.
I know. You're a huge
Giants
fan.
Okay, so when I come up, I'm coming by because you're right down the street.
Oh, man.
Oh,
boom, done.
Anytime. You can sit in. You can sit in and do the news. You can just sit in and comment.
I'll do the news. Oh, by the way, I wanted to be a DJ when I was a kid.
I wanted to be a rock star.
There it is.
Steve Perry, thank you so much. We're gonna play No Erasing. Oh, started at the beginning.
Yeah, that's good.
Off Traces, which is out on October 5th, and I'm actually looking forward to. There's another one. You have another single on the way.
Yes, No More Crying.
All right,
coming.
So we'll be looking for that. It's just an absolute pleasure to meet you, Steve
thank
Perry.
You, thank
everybody.
You.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you so much.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.